Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm delighted that you could join us for our webinar titled Integrating High-Speed Color Inkjet into Marketing Campaigns, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. I think that you all know that marketers of all sizes are looking for opportunities to maximize the value for every marketing dollar spent. And what we're seeing is that the combination of blending color and meaningful personalization with both direct mail and must-read transaction documents is critical to breaking through the clutter. It helps those marketers showcase products and services much better than black and white and one-color printing. It grabs that audience's attention, boosts response rates, and lowers the cost per lead. I'm delighted to have two experts joining me today. The first is John Sisson, and John's the president of Universal Wild. And the second is Deborah Haskell. And Deborah is the Vice President of Marketing for IWCO Direct. And what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be discussing how service providers are making an investment in high-speed inkjet technology and working with their customers to integrate technology to deliver more affordable and more meaningful campaigns. But before we get started, what I'd like to do is just give everybody a few tips for enjoying the webinar. First of all, if you're having technical difficulties, please let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget. If you've got questions, we'll be taking them throughout the webinar. All you have to do is submit them via the Q&A box. Please make sure that you disable pop-up blockers, and if you want to see what the console can do, click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now let's get started. I think the first thing that we all need to look at more than ever is that the customer is in the driver's seat and he has access to more data on more devices than ever before. As a business leader in this new environment, you've got to look at how to compete for customers, retain your base, grow your business. Today's business models are fast becoming obsolete, and what you need is an integrated approach with technologies that will help you cut through the clutter. And so what we're going to be doing today is I'm going to be spending a few minutes talking about how print is the ultimate enabler for cross-media integration. And then you'll hear from John and Deborah, and they'll be talking about how they're integrating the customer experience. And then we'll wrap up with a few final comments. Now, the first thing is that when we look at cutting through the clutter, clearly, color is the message that gets the color is the technology that gets your message across. And what we're seeing is that that's where you as service providers are making the investment. And in fact, when you take a look at the retail value of digital color printing, what you're seeing is that that's projected to grow at almost a 6% growth rate on a compound annual growth rate basis between now and 2016. We've also done a deep study of the top 10 fastest growing digital print applications. By the way, a lot of this is driven by high-speed inkjet. And while books is overall the fastest growth in terms of overall number of pages, you're seeing a huge emphasis on both direct mail and trans-promo, those must-read marketing applications. And what they're trying to do is truly enhance the overall customer experience, and they're doing that by blending that print with new media channels. And they're blending that print with mobile, social, and online technologies. And we need to think about it for just a minute. What I need to be able to do is I need to be able to look at print, and I need to be able to have print drive me across multiple channels. One of those channels is mobile. And I tell folks, when you think about the two channels that are going to be left standing in the next 60 months, I know that paper will continue to exist, and I also know that I'll have a mobile device at my disposal. I have three grandchildren. I will tell you that if I sent them something via email, it would never get opened. If I send them a text, I get an instantaneous response. And the winners in the market are going to be those companies that figure out how to make mobile technology work with print to capture and engage that consumer either via a direct mail piece, a sign, a transaction document. And with mobile, what we're seeing is that internet usage on mobile devices is going to overtake that of personal computers this year. On average, believe it or not, we spend 2.7 hours per day socializing with our mobile devices. Now, that's over twice the amount of time we spend eating and a third of the time we spend sleeping. And then there's texting. 2011 statistics indicate that text messages topped 8 trillion. That's huge growth, and 2012 will obviously be even higher, though the statistics haven't been released. And, of course, I've got to figure out how to make print integrate with social media, whether it's Facebook, where there's over a billion Facebook users, or LinkedIn, or Twitter, where usage was up 700% in 2011. And the reason Twitter's so important is that 1 in 5 Twitter tweets contain some type of inquiry or information about brand-related products or services. Now, the next component is that regardless of the channel, relevance reigns. The marketers have actually become data geeks. The growth of digital data will be 44 times greater in 2020 than it was in 2009. And that volume of data is getting pretty overwhelming for marketers who aren't smart about how they use that knowledge. And so what they're doing is they're looking for partners that will help them analyze, interpret, and translate data into meaningful insight that they can act upon. And what we're finding is that variable data is a critical component of any campaign. We just completed a study where we talked to more than 1,000 enterprises. And we asked those enterprise executives, and these were companies that had 500 or more employees, how much of their marketing was personalized. Believe it or not, 60% of the communications that they send out are personalized, and that means they're either one-to-one or they're segmented with one-to-few. They're still using the spray and pray and using it for campaigns for customer acquisition where they may not have as much data on specific clients. The other piece that the study told us is they're increasing the utilization of more sophisticated variable data. And what they're doing is they're using high-complexity variable data that blends images, variable data blocks of text, or dynamic composition, or all of the above in sections of a specific piece. And the enterprises that we're dealing with aren't thinking just about print. They're thinking about what I categorize as print plus. And what we asked the executives in these enterprises with the number of channels in use. And the average number of media types used in any campaign was 3. But the real interesting statistic was that 47% of the printed marketing materials linked to online digital channels. What that means is those enterprise executives are looking at how to blend print with online channels. We also looked at how they were spending their communications dollars. And in the last 12 months, print still comprised the major portion of spend. When we looked out 2 years, print was still going to be a critical component. And keep in mind, marketing spend is going up, but it won't experience the same level of growth that we're seeing in terms of other channels like mobile and online. The other piece that these executives told us is that print is, in fact, the ultimate communications integration enabler. And what they told us was that they used print and combined them with digital channels in their brochures, their direct mail statements, or direct mail pieces, or bills and statements. And what they were doing when you looked at that, making that connection, is they were linking them to a website, to a social media site, to mobile applications in an online marketplace, or to image files to help them communicate more effectively with customers. And the end objective, when you looked at how these companies were focused on blending media and the rationale for doing that, was that they wanted to reach a broader audience. They wanted to reach a target demographic, those 17 to 30-year-old digital natives that have never known the world without a cell phone. And they wanted to boost response rates by moving people across channels and building a much, much more engaging relationship. Now, with that as a background, what I'd like to do is turn it over to John Sisson. And what John's going to do is share with you how they're integrating high-speed technology for digital color into their marketing campaigns. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to John Sisson. John, take it away.
Okay. Thanks, Barb. When we talked about putting this webinar together, Barb asked me to talk a little bit about who we are, what we do, how our customer needs are changing, a key application to illustrate this combination of high-speed color with marketing campaigns. Talk about the investment we made, the value to us, and then a recommendation for you all if this is something that you want to take forward for your own business. So a little about us. Universal is about Universal Wild is about $150 million marketing service provider, the history of which is the acquisition of some really brand name printing companies in the New England area as Universal. And Universal focused on the educational, healthcare, financial, and commercial markets. And our chief executive officer, Bill Fitzgerald, who has a vision for the company of from thought to distribution, the entrance into marketing services. And as Universal, we did that in a relatively small way, but knew that we needed to make a strategic decision to really boost that part of our business, which is what led to the acquisition of Wild, which brought some gravitas, if you will, with respect to the number of customers and the types of business that we were exploring in those same markets. So it was a great marriage of these two companies bringing the print and the marketing service providing capabilities together as one. So the services that we provide is this wheel of services, if you will. It starts really with an agency, and I can't underline enough the significance of being involved now with the customer strategy as it relates to how they're going to go to market and doing the things that are necessary to actually improve how they go to market, leveraging personalization, et cetera, that the rest of the company has to offer. Electronic delivery, so as Barb mentioned, that integration of mobile and social email campaigns, pearls, et cetera. The digital print, which is part of what we're going to talk about today from the standpoint of variable documents, as well as still the traditional services of offset print. We also have a promotional products group, all of which from a physical delivery is either going to be done through fulfillment or through direct mail. So this wheel of services is ones that we put together to really be able to handle any number of requests from the four markets that we serve. So I think one of the basic questions is, so why bother? And for anybody who's on the call who's been in this business for any period of time, if your background is just print, then for the most part, you didn't really care why the customer was producing what they were producing. But in today's day and age, you really do need to care. And their needs really have less to do with the actual physical piece than they do with the results of that they're going to achieve by virtue of leveraging any of the channels, whether that be print or electronic, and how they reach the right audience with the right message at the right time. Their needs are about growth and lift and better retention and shorter time to market, et cetera. And that is not easy to achieve if all you do is one thing and one thing only. You really have to expand into helping the customer with strategy and with implementation, because the customers come from a wide spectrum of backgrounds, and their ability to, for instance, deliver that big data in a way that can be composed for personalized print is everything from completely incapable to very sophisticated.
Hey, so, John, before you move too fast, I have a quick question that came in from the audience. Clearly, when you move into the realm of high-speed color inkjet and complex variable data, the data services are absolutely essential. Could you describe what you're doing on the data side for your customer base? And the second piece to that question is, how good are your customers at getting you the data you need?
Yeah, so I'll answer the first question, or the second question first. Again, there's a spectrum. Some are excellent, and others are need a significant amount of help, everything from buying the data to coaxing the right information out of the data they have. And we have the advantage of providing two really great data services. The first is with respect to the strategy, analyzing what they have. So just because you have lots of data doesn't mean you're going to get to the right person at the right time with the right message. It's teasing out what is the appropriate selection out of that data to use that gets our customers a better return on their investment. And that's really what the agency does in their data analytics group. And then on the sort of back end of the process, it's manipulating the data to get the best postal discount, to arrange it so that it creates the most unique document it can. And it's leveraging the various components or the number of fields in every record to highly personalize the output. And so customers are looking really for both. And like I said, some don't need the strategy. They have that figured out. Some need both, and we're trying to be in a position to help them regardless.
Great. Thanks, John.
You bet. So I think a good example is an application that we put together for a financial institution where really their strategy was to target individual investors to get them to invest more. So their goals were an increase in asset under management and an increase in the number of accounts. And this is a piece produced leveraging demographic and account information to create highly personalized four-color statements that drive the user to, in the acquisition side of the campaign, open up an account, and in the retention side, increase the number of assets that are being managed by this organization. And so as you can see, the results are not about how many or how much. It's much more about what the customer achieved as a result of putting the campaigns together with us. And, the execution of this is that combination of, in their case, they were all over their own data, but putting together the execution side to appropriately match the data with the template, draw the chart, et cetera, to get highly personalized documents out the back end. So when it comes to the type of investment that we have made over the course of time, in software, it's in three areas, DP or data processing for all the postal, what we call DDC or dynamic document creation, which is the marriage of templates with data to create personalized documents. And then it's on the platform for being able to accept data feeds, have a user interface, et cetera, for the many different things that someone might want to do with the data they have, from producing a personalized piece to just sticking a piece of promotional products into a box and shipping it to the right end user to having the right mobile message delivered to some portion of their constituents. The investment in people has been significant in both IT development and project management because every instance is typically unique, and probably more notably in sales because the transition from selling what is effectively a commodity to what is effectively way more value add for our customers is something that you have to make an investment in the salespeople who work for you. And then on the equipment side, particularly as it relates to print, we have the Canon Ose roll-fed color. We have Xerox and an extensive various lines of finishing equipment.
Hey, John, I have a quick question on the application that you just shared before we get too far into things. The question that came in from the audience was, did you produce on the application example that you provided the entire form digitally on the fly, or was it just some of the bar charts and graphs? And I know the answer to that, but I thought I'd let you respond.
Yeah, no, the entire document. So the our dynamic document creation group is the one that does the programming of matching the template to the data to affect a change with every single piece that comes out. So it's the programming, if you will, to use raw data and create the entirety of the piece and pull in potentially pre-selected content. So you know, it has the flexibility if we're pulling in a paragraph or pulling in a word within a paragraph or drawing a chart or whatever it is to completely compose the document dynamically.
Great, thanks.
You bet. So I think the next thing to talk about is so why are we doing this? I mean, what is the value to us? And my understanding is that it's actually impossible to do a presentation in our business without quoting Frank Romano. So here I am quoting him. And basically, he's talking about the change in our business from the percentage of offset print to digital print and to ancillary services. And fortunately or unfortunately, you can lump all of the e-delivery into ancillary services. But the truth is that, like it or not, the business is changing from the majority offset print to the majority digital and ancillary services. And we recognize that we need to be ahead of, and we are ahead of, this curve as it relates to what percentage of our business is going to be from the various outputs. And in truth, the profitability of what we do is higher for digital print and ancillary services than it is for offset print. So for us, it's about growth, it's about profitability, and it's also about customer retention. Because when these programs are put together, the automation involved, the streamlining of the process, the results that we achieve for the customer are much more compelling than your typical well-printed offset piece. So with that being said, what would be my recommendation for anybody here who is moving into the marketing service provider arena? To go back to my business school, and for anybody who hasn't been to business school, first of all, congratulations. You're a hell of a lot better off than I am. But secondarily, you might have learned this in kindergarten. This is Maslow's needs hierarchy. And basically what it says is until you get food, you're not really all that worried about your physical safety. So you start with just survival. What do you need to survive? And from that, you move to those things that provide security. And then once you have those two things, now I can interact with people, the social needs. Ultimately, you're trying to get to, as a person, self-actualization. And there are it's rare that you get to that point, but it's sort of true fulfillment for yourself. And I liken that a lot to the process that you have to go through as you investigate what is the needs from a marketing service provider perspective. And so it really starts with a vision and strategy. And I try to illustrate here on the right, what does this cost you? And the truth is that the vision and strategy for the customer or for your company doesn't cost anything. But I don't think that you're going to survive unless that is the cornerstone of what you do going forward as you move into this business. The security comes from making sure that the sales organization actually understands what it is, can sell what it is, can appreciate the difference it makes, and that moves directly into understanding the customer, because without that understanding, delivering a solution to them is very difficult. If you don't know what they need, it's certainly hard to deliver that. And again, all of these things are free. They're not necessarily without pain, but they're definitely free. On top of that is sort of the psychological safety, which is where the real investment comes from a system architecture perspective to make sure that what you build can deliver on the promise that you're making once you understand what the customer is after. And then the knowledgeable staff is a cost of doing business, and their need to understand, well, how are we going to implement this with the architecture that we have and understanding what the customer is, and then the process for delivering the end product, whether that be variable print, or an SMS, or a number of likes on a Facebook page. And it ends at the top with the self-actualization of real customer collaboration, because unlike throwing the stack of camera-ready copy over the wall and saying, I need this in a week, this is a real collaboration with them to change and help them do whatever it is they have as business objectives through implementing whatever it is you're doing from a marketing service provider perspective to deliver on that promise. So that would be my recommendation about how to go about doing it, and you all may be in different stages, but those are the steps that I see it takes to be successful.
Now, John, I have a couple questions from our audience for you. First of all, the first question was, what type of high-speed inkjet device did you put in? And then is the volume that you're running on it new volume? Is it offset transfer, or is it transfer from other digital devices?
Yeah, so we have the OSE 3500 along with the cut sheet color devices and cut sheet black and white, and we actually have OSE black and white roll fed devices. And we have three different things that we're running on the color device. So we were in the business of running pre-printed rolls through our black and white roll fed inkjet, and so we're converting those customers to 100% variable color. And that obviously saves them obsolescence of color rolls they have to toss, and time to market is improved, and the value of the piece that's being created is better. We are moving certain offset work that fits from a substrate and quality perspective onto the roll-fed color device. And then the new work is more akin to the example I showed where, you know, we're following the process of trying to understand what the customer is after and offering them a very cost-effective way of doing that in color using the OSE.
Okay. Now, the next question that somebody came in and asked is, does AFP have a role in your company or for your customers?
AFP?
Yeah, AFP.
Yeah.
Advanced Function Printing.
Yes, yes. So we find we have so one of the pieces of the architecture is the universal adapter, which I'm kidding, but it means that independent of the print format, AFP, PostScript, PDF, we have to be able to convert that into something that will run on the various devices that we have. And so there is still a world of AFP out there, and you know, we have part of our infrastructure, a way to make it so that still works for any of the devices that we have on the floor.
Okay. And then one last question that came in. Talk to the audience a little bit about the selling side of it. You mentioned, you know, the displacement of, you know, pre-printed forms with, you know, obviously dynamic creation of both the form and the digital color print, those kinds of things. How challenging is the selling action around that?
So I think that the expectation should be for certainly a longer sales cycle for complex variable data execution. The sell itself is not necessarily, or it really shouldn't be, about the unit cost for the end piece. It should be about the value that's going to be brought as a result of doing it in a different way. So in the case of just the one that you mentioned where someone is printing roll color offset and then they're imprinting it in black and white, there are a number of things that we talk about with those clients. Two of which I mentioned is time to market. Well, okay, you don't have to produce the rolls, stick them in inventory, and then print the variable black. It's obsolescence, so if you actually change that background, you're going to throw some of that out. So from a total cost of ownership perspective, we're able to show some relatively significant savings. But I think we, at the same time, try to always illustrate the upside benefit of what does the variable color mean to them as it relates to how that piece is going to perform better in the marketplace, because there's much more value in the return than there is on the investment. So when we talk to customers about the ROI for their marketing dollars, a dollar of sales is way more powerful than the same dollar of investment, and they pretty much universally get that and can appreciate how that is going to be changed via the color digital variable print.
great. What I'm going to do now is I am going to turn it over to Deb. Deb's going to share with you what they're doing at IWCO to really, you know, make to really integrate high-speed inkjet color into marketing campaigns. And so with that, take it away, Deb.
Hey, thanks, Barb. As John mentioned, Barb asked us to spend a minute or two talking about who we are and what we do. Printing Impressions says that IWCO Direct is the largest direct mailer in North America, and we get to we earned that title by putting more than 3 billion pieces of mail into the system every year. We have facilities in Minnesota and Pennsylvania, and it's 2,250 employees that get those 3 billion pieces of mail into the system every year. We've been doing this for a long time, since 1969, and we started out as just one of those printers that John talked about. A couple of years ago, we started talking about multi-channel marketing, and that word has changed to cross-channel marketing with a focus on helping our customers acquire new customers, building loyalty with those customers, and engaging those customers. Sometimes it's a customer, sometimes it's a member, as we'll talk about in the case study that I'm going to do in a couple of minutes. We do offer, and all of this is in-house, in-house creative, digital, and paper-based direct mail and marketing services. One of the things that we think differentiates us is our postal optimization strategies, and along with that comes our industry expertise and advocacy, particularly on postal reform and those kinds of issues. We couldn't do what we do today without automating our platform and our workflow solutions. And there's another piece to our business which we acquired when we acquired the assets of Transcontinental Direct in 2010. We also brought on a new division for us called MailGuard, which is focused on critical communications recovery. When we talk about what we do, we try to talk about it in six simple words. The first is impactful design. The next phrase is disciplined execution. And most important, and this is what direct marketing is all about, is measurable response. And on the right is a graphic that we like to refer to as the circle of life. And again, it's about acquiring customers, building loyalty with those customers, and engaging customers with marketing to build share of wallet for our customers. Speaking of our customers, this is what we like to refer to as our client roster. We look at these are the six primary vertical markets that we work in: financial services, what we call subscription services in terms of telecom companies, cable providers, good old-fashioned publishing companies. Insurance is one of the largest segments that we work in, and we're very proud of the names that are included in that category. Retail and loyalty overlap a lot. We do a number of loyalty programs for retailers as well as loyalty programs in the travel and hospitality business. And last but not least, and not least at all because it's a growing segment for us, is healthcare. And again, with some significant names in that category, focus both on wellness and disease management programs and some of the more day-to-day but very important healthcare communications. Barb talked a lot about relevance and driving relevance, and I'm going to say relevance probably at least once in each of the next slides. We talk about what the traditional drivers are for marketing success, and this I know on the left talks about what were the traditional drivers, and this always gets creative, the backs up of creative people, that the list was 40% of the driving success, the offer was another 40%, and everything else was just 20%. So the creative, the format of the piece, the paper it was printed on, the colors that were used, the copy, the messaging, all of that made up that other 20%. Today, in terms of driving marketing success, again, this is where the relevance comes in, that an offer can't be relevant if the timing isn't right. The frequency of that offer is critically important when you talk about marketing relevance. And as Barb mentioned, integration with other media, that cross-channel application, and thinking about the message that I'm sending to you on paper, the message that I'm sending to you on your phone or your tablet, all of those are critically important in terms of that holy grail of integrated marketing. One of the things, as John mentioned, that Barb asked us to talk about is what drove us to make the investment in high-speed color inkjet. And there were really five critical things. One was that flexibility for that relevance. It was moving beyond personalization, moving beyond pre-printed shells that were some versions that we then did as much as we could with the personalization, because that didn't really get to that highly relevant offer. That was a personalized offer, but it wasn't necessarily a relevant and highly targeted offer. One of the things that we found to be a real something that high-speed color inkjet gave us that offline personalization didn't necessarily do, in other words, pre-printing a shell and then using laser or inkjet personalization to add that element of targeting, was giving us a new production efficiency, really optimizing that production efficiency with that end-to-end process. Barb asked John about, are you doing this all in one pass? And the answer is yes. That's what high-speed color inkjet brought to us. And it eliminated those pre-printed versions, kept us from throwing away a lot of paper that we were printing for our customers that would then become obsolete, particularly in some of those vertical segments where regulatory issues would drive changes that are easy to make when you're using high-speed color inkjet, a lot more complicated if you've already printed something. And last but not least, I mentioned postal optimization as something that differentiates IWCO Direct. Another advantage of high-speed color inkjet is providing that single-stream methodology that allows us to leverage saturation and high-density carrier route for the highest level of postage discounts that are available. I'm going to talk next about why marketers need variable data. And John talked about some of that hierarchy of needs, some of the reasons that marketers need variable data. Pretty simple in terms of driving response and conversion or sales. And what studies have shown us is that there can be a triple digit lift in matching the offer to the need. Really artful and savvy marketers have figured out a way to identify the unarticulated needs of consumers and tie that offer to that unarticulated need. In some cases, that high-speed color inkjet allows a very quick response to an articulated need of a client or a customer or a new member when it comes to things like welcome kits or trigger mail that high-speed color inkjet enables us to do. One of the things that I think is really fascinating is 69%, more than two-thirds of consumers, open their mail not just because of they're interested, it looks like an interesting envelope, but because they have a need, because they perceive that this offer is going to give me something. So, again, it's the relevance that comes with appropriate timing, and high-speed color inkjet makes us more nimble. Only 59% open mail just because of the personalized element. So, again, that's where that relevance piece comes in terms of the timing. Making the text and the images in a direct mail piece relevant, not just pretty, but relevant, also drives superior results and allows us to, if we're doing a mailing for a pet retailer, and I know that I'm a dog lover, but my next-door neighbor is a cat lover, the piece that shows up in my mailbox can have images of dogs, and my neighbor is just going to get the piece with the cats, and the guy down the street that has dogs, cats, and ferrets, those images can appear on his piece, which makes it more relevant to him. I'm more interested in the dog food offer. My neighbor's more interested in the cat food offer. That's why I'm going to open that piece of mail. Those relevant campaigns rely on a very complex integration of data, timely processing, and those smaller production batches because, frankly, you know, Barb mentioned the spray and pray approach. I don't have to do that anymore. I know that this person wants to receive this offer from me, and I'm providing them a relevant offer that's going to get me a greater share of her wallet because she wants this piece. She's asked for this piece. She's indicated through, again, that complex data integration that this is what I'm interested in. This is what I want you to send me. Some of the specific measures of the effectiveness of variable data print, and this is what it's all about. It's back to that measurable response, higher response rates, and even more important, faster response time. So I don't have to wait as long if I have a robust testing strategy in place in terms of what's the next offer, because I can read my response faster when I'm using variable data. Greater participation, this is particularly important with our healthcare clients in terms of getting them engaged. Disease management, anyone who's responsible for looking at employee insurance coverage knows the difference in keeping as many employees as possible from moving into a higher risk pool through wellness programs and chronic disease management and compliance. If I can get people more engaged in taking care of themselves and doing that with a mail piece that reminds them of when it's time to see the doctor, when it's time to get a prescription refilled, and I tie that in with other channels that they've indicated they want to communicate, want to be communicated through, they get a text message that says, take your medication today. That drives engagement. That's where, that's again, what we're all driving toward is getting more involved in what we're putting in front of them in whatever channels we're sending that through. One of the things I think is really fascinating about it is just reduce customer service complaints because I'm getting what I want. I'm getting offers that are important to me. And last but not least, I have a greater understanding of what the product and service benefits are. One of our insurance clients tells us that they get the highest conversion from sending a direct mail piece that causes somebody to go to their website to learn about the product and then driving them to the call center to actually complete the transaction. With insurance, okay, I've learned something about it, but I still feel better when I've talked to somebody that really understands this stuff and can guide me in what I need. One of the other things that Barb asked us to talk about was some of the best practices for high-speed color inkjet, and high-speed color inkjet really is variable data print. Some of the things that we found are critically important, making sure that message, again, that message relevant, is about the recipient's needs, whether that recipient is a prospect, a customer, or a member. Relevance about their needs, their goals, and the pain points. How do I connect with somebody? I'm going to solve a problem for them. We do that with variable data that talks about program benefits, a really, and maybe there's more than one call to action. Can't do direct mail without a call to action. Whether that's driving somebody to a website, driving someone to a call center, using a Pearl, a QR code, or some of the newest technology in terms of digital watermarks and augmented reality, that call to action that says, now I'm going to do something. Pricing. I may find that I don't have to offer John as good a deal as I do Barb, so I can take advantage of that through variable data. Terms and conditions. Every state has a different set of regulations when it comes to state information. Variable data allows us to do that. Testimonials. If I can tie a testimonial from a woman to a piece that's going to a female, particularly about certain health issues, that's going to be more relevant to her than a guy telling her what she needs to do. And the success of variable data is proven over and over again. This information comes from the PODI segmentation report in terms of driving significant lifts in response when using variable data. I'm going to jump into a case study in a second, and I'm going to introduce that case study by talking about some of the challenges in the loyalty industry. And this is a study that was published earlier this year by Deloitte, that they titled A Restoration in Loyalty. This is specific to hotel loyalty programs, hospitality loyalty. And fewer than half of the members of hotel loyalty programs think that the loyalty program is important when they're choosing a hotel to stay in. And I thought that was really intriguing because we all think about building points on an airline, but when it comes to hotels, it turns out people are more, they think it's more important in terms of the comfort and the location on where they're going to be staying than whether or not they're a member of a loyalty program. That's a bonus, but not the first consideration for more than half of people when they choose a hotel. Just over half are satisfied or very satisfied with the hotel loyalty program that and many are members of more than one loyalty program, but just a few more than half are satisfied or very satisfied. And I think the bullet about social media is really intriguing. Almost two-thirds never want to interact with a travel brand. And remember, Barb talked about those billion Facebook users using social media. And we really do have a different set of rules. Exact Target talked about this in their channel preference survey that came out earlier this year, that when it's up to me as to how a marketer can communicate with me, sure, as Barb talked about her grandchildren that only want to communicate through text messages, but I don't necessarily want that from a marketer. And that's an important, really important thing for a hotel loyalty program to be thinking about. And just under two-thirds, again, use a hotel website most frequently to book travel. What really matters to them, to somebody traveling when they're booking a hotel, is making that purchasing process secure, making it easy, offering a discount maybe I can take advantage of, and what the latest news is in terms of that hotel. We're going to jump into this quick case study on Best Western. And Best Western Rewards is the loyalty program that was being done conventionally in terms of using pre-printed shells, a couple of different versions, and Best Western said, there's some really important things to us that we want to move beyond versioning so that we can make our welcome kits much more relevant to our members. We have variable ad space that we sell to our affinity partners. We have affinity partner logos that are circled in the center of the page. We have different levels, different tiers of our rewards program that's on the right. And then we want to be able to use variable letter copy and variable images. We jump into the gold package, and that's the next level for somebody that has stayed at Best Western X number of times. They move up into the gold level. That ad is going to change. That logo, the Harley-Davidson logo that's in the middle of the page, a very important market segment for Best Western, and there are different levels of that Harley frequent rider, frequent guest program in terms of the levels, the tiers of the loyalty program, again, variable letter copy, variable images, based on knowing that I've got somebody who loves motorcycles and this is where they tend to stay. The next level of the welcome kit is the platinum kit, again, somebody who's a more frequent guest for them, and then the diamond level. Using high-speed, high-color, variable data inkjet enabled us to create all of these versions, keep the postal optimization strategy in effect, and give Best Western that relevance, that personal message, that welcome from a particular hotel that somebody stays at all the time, images based on whether they travel primarily in the Northeast or the Southwest. All of that opened up a new world to Best Western when it came to their welcome kits. And last but not least, Barb asked us, as John mentioned, to talk about recommendations and lessons learned. And one of the most important things that we learned in terms of our investment in high-speed inkjet, color inkjet, is managing expectations both internally and externally, making sure that the equipment purchase, and as we continue to look at expanding our capabilities in that area, one of the lessons we learned is making sure that we're purchasing for the production environment and not just the sample environment. And that's all about speed and being able to produce great quality at high speed. Finding a paper partner, because one of the most challenging things that we found in terms of this new technology for us was understanding paper stocks, which are different for color inkjet, continuous color inkjet. really taking advantage of the technical expertise of the equipment manufacturer, train us on the equipment. We had a very, very shallow learning curve, and that was really due to the great training that we got with the equipment that we invested in, the OSA 3500, and making that investment in training, not meaning make the investment with the equipment manufacturer, but making the investment in training employees, training salespeople. This is a new technology. It's really exciting. There are things that are different about it, that are exciting about it, that we have to learn about in order to make it effective for our clients. And that's
okay,
all
guys.
I've got.
Hey, I've got a number of questions here, and I'm going to ask several of them to both of you. One of the big questions that came up when we were, well, both of you were talking was, how would you compare and contrast the inkjet quality versus offset? And it included the color spectrum, durability, and cost to produce. And so I'll start with you on this one, Deb. What's your reaction on the quality side, and how it compares to offset?
Well, I will admit that I held my breath when we created this piece that was a sell sheet for when we first invested in the OSA 3500, and it's a big block of solid blue with the type reversed out of it that says, I can't believe this is inkjet printing, because the quality was remarkable. And we had to learn how to use it. We had to learn to design for it. But once we took the time to learn that, I think the quality is superb. And again, you know, it's not offset printing, and there are some limitations, but once you learn about those limitations, the quality is remarkable, and our clients have been extremely pleased with the quality.
Same question to you, John, so we get both perspectives. What's your reaction on that?
Actually, I agree with Deborah 100%, and I just add that we do not have an offset press that will produce every piece different from the one before it. That makes it very difficult to compare. So we're not doing coffee table books on the roll fed digital color, and I don't think that's what it's meant for. But from the standpoint of the quality, I think it's excellent.
Okay, next question, and I'm going to ask both of you the same question. We've got a number of questions here on return on investment as well as conversion levels and actual revenue generated from the campaigns you've done. Talk to us a little bit about the types of ROI you feel like you've delivered to your customers, and I'll start with John on this one.
Sure. So Deb said it, and I think it's true. The more channels that our customers are using to reach their customers is a multiplier effect as it relates to both the return on investment and the success that they achieve as far as lift or retention or whatever. I guess as I look on just strictly the digital print, we're averaging a 3x times improvement in where they were before they ran, a variable campaign and one that where they're using roll-fed digital color. So that's pretty significant for them and for us because, again, that the R part of the ROI is much more significant for them. And I'll just make a quick comment about the cost side of the equation. It can't necessarily be compared to a static piece, but when it gets compared to a cut sheet digital piece, there's no comparison. I mean, the capacity of these devices is significantly bigger, and the pricing model associated with them is significantly different from cut sheet digital printing.
Great. Now, next question. And, Deb, this one's specifically for you. You quoted some statistics that caught everyone's attention. and it was decided to message relevant is emerging as the ultimate targeted communications objective. Triple-digit lift, 69% of consumers open mail. And somebody asked, where is the source of that data? Do you know off the top of your head, Deb?
The data is a combination of information that we get from PODI, from the Postal Service in terms of their household survey, and the DMA response rate report.
Perfect. Now, next question, and that is it links to the – and I've got to find it here. Sorry about that. But it links to variable data and color print, and the question was, has the response rate been held back by regular envelopes, or are you doing something special with the envelope? And I'll start with Deb on that.
Actually, one of the things that we've found is that, and this is in terms of something special that we're doing, one of the things that we found that's special is using a larger window so that the piece that's going into that envelope can be different for everyone in terms of what they see. And sometimes that window is on the front, and sometimes that window is on the back, depending on how we're using the piece. We've even done some clear poly envelopes that the Postal Service has approved that make the piece really intriguing, and the envelope is merely the carrier. But varying the window size to take advantage of what's variable has completely eliminated the necessity, for example, with one of our healthcare wellness and disease management customers who has a number of affinity partners, that they no longer have to inventory 48 different envelopes because we put a second window so you can see the return address with that affinity partner's logo. And that's what we can do with variable data to make the envelope really complement the variability.
Great. Now let me ask, I'm going to direct this one to John. John, paper seems to be a bit of a challenge. And could you talk for a second about what options are for paper and where you see the market headed?
Well, I can't really speak to where I think the market is headed, unfortunately, but I hope where it's headed is the manufacturers of both these devices and the paper manufacturers collaborating to expand the availability of different types of stocks, because there is going to be some limitation just based on the technology, and that's independent of which technology you choose. And, you know, we have customer expectations that there are no limitations. So I think Deb said it best when she talked about that upfront conversation with the customer to make sure that you're on the same page. Yes, certainly, about the data and where the composition is taking place and what the output is and so forth, but right down to what substrate are we going to print on, because, you know, you can't end up offering something that you can't actually get and print on these devices. And that the bottom line is that I think we look forward to that expanding beyond where it is right now, but there is some limitation as it relates to roll fit digital color.
Okay. Well, I'm going to, guys, take it from here and wrap up. We're almost at the top of the hour, but I really want to thank both of you. And I think the key message that you heard from both Deborah and John was that they've invested in high-speed inkjet technology, and what it's done is it's helped them help their customers hit the target and do a better job at delivering return on investment. And I think the big element is that print is integral to the overall cross-media strategy. And when we hear a lot about the bells and whistles of all the other online channels, the driving force will continue to be print. But the balance of power has really changed, and marketers need to understand which channels the consumer has turned on. They typically are leading with print and then moving them across multiple channels. There's clearly substantial advances in technology and in the culture in the marketplace, as well as the economy, that's going to drive the need for relevant cross-media direct marketing opportunities. Clearly, I've got to make any of those direct marketing pieces something much more than just a print piece. It's got to engage the customer and make sure that he not just reads the piece, but he actually becomes an interactive part of my community. And ultimately, it's going to be, print is going to become the cross-media enabler that will help you acquire new customers, build loyalty, and reactivate relationships. And so I think what you heard from Deborah and John was integrated marketing is here to stay. I've got to evolve into becoming a player. Success equals profit, both for you and your customers. And you've really got to be perceived like Universal Wild and IWCO as the right partner to do the job. And so with that, I am going to thank our panelists. We're at the top of the hour. And I, again, I know that it's been communicated to everybody. The webinar is available for download. If you've got a few questions that we didn't get responded to, we will absolutely look at the Q&As and make sure that we get back to you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Canon Solutions America, for sponsoring the webinar. And last but not least, we'd appreciate any feedback that you might give us. And you can if you take a minute to fill out our feedback survey, it'd be greatly appreciated. Thanks again. Have a great afternoon.